Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
So it goes, so it goes, so it goes, so it goes.
You need some whoop 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 boing, you know?
Absolutely.
So it goes, so it goes, so it goes, so it goes.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. We are live in Madison, rounding out the last hour of our field trip day.
It's great.
Out of Waukesha.
It's been so much fun.
How is it not producing the show?
It's been so much fun.
You just get to have witty comebacks and not think about answering the phone, not thinking about the next song. We got Aaron Zommers dealing with all that today.
Who is doing a fantastic, fantastic job.
All right. Hey. All right. Well, how does working for outside in nature, getting fresh air, being in the Wisconsin wilderness during the best time of the year,
yes,
which is our summers, how does that sound to you? Because DNR is now hiring state park seasonal staff, and here to tell us more about it is Brian Hefty from the DNR. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Happy
to talk about our positions.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess let's just, what is available?
Well, we have close to 300 jobs available right now across the entire state. And we are looking for people that are enthusiastic about working with other people. We have a lot of different types of jobs, everything from a park ranger to a naturalist to a visitor service staff person, as well as maintenance staff as well. So if there's got to be a niche in there for everyone that we're talking to here. So
Brian, is there a park ranger school I have to go to? I mean, what does it take to become a park ranger? And is there a hat involved? Because I would like to wear a hat.
You'd look good in a hat.
Thank you.
The hats are always popular. They're definitely an attraction. We actually don't make a requirement of wearing a hat, but if people want one, we would definitely give them one. As far as requirements go, there isn't a requirement of a degree for the positions that we're looking for. Certainly, those individuals that like to work outside, like to work on different maintenance type process, interacting with people, those are really the skills that we're looking for, and that's really where we're at right now. But we have a very diverse workforce, and we like it that way. We want diversity in our workforce.
And so, because I'm looking here, so the following positions are open at various locations. So we talked about park rangers. So what's the difference between like a park ranger or a parks and recreation specialist?
Yeah, so those positions are very similar. But what I would say the main difference is that you will see a park ranger maybe focus more in on that, educating the public about certain rules and regulations, or providing that maybe that visitor service, customer service information to people. Rangers are kind of they're always the attractant for folks. Interact a lot with our public, help to educate them, and they're kind of also the jack of all trades that we look to fill different gaps that we have. Everything from maintenance to educational programming to customer service.
And I mean, we have so many state parks to choose from, right, mm-hmm. Brian? I mean, no matter where you are listening to us right now, there are likely openings at the state park nearest you.
Most definitely. I don't know of any of our properties that are completely full as far as staffing levels for the summer. So if there's a state park, say forest nearby, definitely seek it out and encourage you to go talk to those managers right there, get more information and hear more about the property.
So because a lot of these positions are for seasonal, it's for the summer.
They are. They're a maximum of 1,039 hours. That's what we are able to give as far as a maximum. But that isn't a requirement. A lot of our staffing will go from like that Memorial Day to Labor Day time period. So we, you know, works great for college students. Mm-hmm. Works great oftentimes for you know, even teachers that are looking for a summer job, or even those that are kind of that retirement phase, but are looking for either additional income or you know, more interaction with other people to work with. So definitely a good opportunity.
Yeah, I can definitely see this, Brian, as a perfect opportunity for retirees. I really do, who like people and like, you know, sharing their knowledge. And I just think that would be such a wonderful, and I think this is pretty well known too, socialization as you get older remains critically important. So I think it helps you live longer when you interact with people and you see different people on a daily basis, and it keeps you sharp, and it just is, it's good for you.
It is. And I would say that we have a huge benefit getting those individuals that are, you know, later in life, you know, they come to the table with a lot of experiences and really make a good combination with other staff, you know, whether it be a leader or helping provide guidance or, you know, just different perspectives on work. It really is a good combination that's worked really, really well for us.
And so we're talking to Brian Hefty, who is the DNR Deputy Bureau Director of Parks and Recreation Management. And how often for people who maybe start, like you said, some of the younger folks who are college students, who start in a seasonal job, how much does this get the bug? And this is something that turns into a long career, maybe not with the DNR, because if there's not an open position, but knowing that they want to work in parks, state parks, or some, you know, outdoors, is that kind of a feeder program and how people kind of get into it?
It most definitely is. A lot of our permanent workforce start out as LTEs. I know I started out as an LTE.
You did.
Yes, absolutely. And worked all the positions that we mentioned, you know, customer service, park ranger, park rec specialist, labor as well. So yes, it helped to grab me and keep me interested.
Brian, I personally am fascinated by heavy equipment. And I'm just, if there are people like me who could be lured into this, like, what could I drive?
Yeah, and that's a good question. So, you know, within our system, we have, you know, trucks to drive around, commercial lawnmowers, as you might expect with the acreage we have to mow. That is something that we do often, and something very appealing. I mean, who doesn't like to mow lawn? You know, a lot of folks like to do that.
And you've got the great big ones, right, that do this, that can go in a circle and that are the bigger, fancier lawnmowers?
Yes, we do. Absolutely. And we also have skid steers and tractors, and we have a training program for those too. So, you know, for those that have the aptitude for it and are excited to learn new things, you know, that they can, you know, take with them in life. You know, we have a spot for them, and we're looking to train people.
So I guess, to change, for the people who are not looking for a job, but who are very much looking forward to the summer and getting to enjoy the state parks, how early in advance should people be booking their campsites, or like all of the different things that we can take advantage of, you know, we get discounted prices as residents here, but what are some of the things for, I guess, the consumers of the parks instead of the workers of the parks that you feel like people should know as we... It doesn't look like spring right now, but, you know, soon enough.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, no, those are great questions. So our camping, you can actually book 11 months in advance. And a lot of our campsites for the weekends you might expect are heavily booked already. Yeah. But there is still openings across the state on weekends, and most definitely during the weekdays as well. But definitely encourage you to go out and seek those opportunities that exist out there. And there's always cancellations. Even at our most popular parks, there's there's, you know, people have changes that they need to make, and so there's cancellations.
How much? And I'm thinking, because I'm obsessed now with the park ranger in the hat. How much leeway do they have? Because I'm thinking of when I've gone to the Tower of London and you have your docent who takes you around and they embellish some stories. So if I were to become a park ranger for the Wisconsin DNR, is it frowned upon if I share a story about the time I fought off a bear with a nail clippers?
You know, we'd give you a special program if you have a story like that. So I think that would attract people.
Well, we did learn from the National Park Services recently, do not push your slower friend down when being chased by a bear.
Yeah, so not good.
Is there other advice? I know that the National Park Service is very good at giving very obvious advice, but as far as obvious advice for Wisconsin State Parks, anything else that you think like people should know?
You know, Wisconsin is one of those states where there's very few things that can harm you from the wild. We always tell people to practice good behaviors, you know, lock their food away. So, you know, mostly what raccoons are the culprit most of the time that get into it. But store your food away, you know, be aware of your surroundings. And, you know, if you follow those things, you're going to be pretty good in Wisconsin.
There we go. Well, Aaron, I just saw that your story is you have a friend who's was an LTE, right?
Yeah, one of my roommates is working in a plant pathology lab, and later this month he is moving to Michigan to go and get a grad degree in plant pathology, and then potentially coming back to Wisconsin for that.
So there you go.
Very cool. Where can people find the jobs? The list of jobs, Brian.
So they can go to the state employment website, which is called WISC Jobs. So that's WISC.JOBS. They can go there. They can do a search, and it'll kind of walk you through how to apply.
Perfect. And we'll put that on today's show notes for anyone who's interested. Brian Hefty, DNR, Deputy Bureau Director of Parks and Recreation Management. Thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. When we Bye-bye. Come back, three headlines and a lie. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
What a wonderful way. Ooh,
yeah. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. In my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She's Jane Madnair.
Aaron Zummer is producing, giving some heart and soul to our program today.
It really makes me not want to come back and just listen to the music.
It was pretty mellow, but, you know, some songs about love in the outdoors.
There you go. Yeah. Which was so fun.
It was great.
As someone who married into a family that likes to camp, I now have a newfound appreciation for our parks. I've always liked the outdoors, but we weren't a camping family.
No, we neither was mine.
And now, at least once a summer, we camp. And I'm good for, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
Two to three days. Yeah, and then I need an actual shower.
Yeah. And I want a bed.
Yes.
But we have so many spectacular state parks. We really do. And I just think for retirees, what a great summer job. How much fun would that be?
I hadn't thought of that. I always think of, I was thinking more on the side of what he said at first, which was like college students,
sure,
teachers. But yeah, thinking about senior citizens who are like, yeah, this is fun.
I am totally
going to do it.
Upon.
Well, now that you know that you can mow a lawn and put your bumper sticker on it
and wear a hat.
Do you think they let the lawnmowers wear a park ranger hat, or do you think they'll just let you do it because you want to?
I'll have to ask.
Okay.
Once I prove my value, I think, as a lawnmower, they might let me.
They may let you. Yeah. All right. Well, when we come back in the next segment, we still have this segment, but Luke Mathers.
Is that his name?
That is his name.
I was not sure.
Luke Mathers of Luke and Brian, Dueling Tangents, is going to be joining us for the last half hour of our show. I am making a joke about that because I am so used to saying Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And in their opening segment, they have a joke about Luke Bryant.
Right.
And on Todd's show, when we were on the Todd Alba show earlier today, I was previewing what was coming up on our show today. And I just called him Luke Bryan. And as soon as it left my mouth, I was like, that's not his last name.
I don't think that's right.
Luke Mathers will be with us at the bottom of the hour. But for now, we're going to play Three Headlines and a Lie.
I'm excited. We haven't done this in a while.
We haven't done it for a while. And it's been a weird week. So I don't know if we've been paying as closely attention to the news.
True, true.
So this is where we have four different headlines, three of which are true, one is fake, and Jane and I, well, I have to know.
You know,
so
the answers,
I know.
Yeah.
So you can play along with us, but Jane and Aaron, if you would like to play along as well, you can weigh in which one you think is the fake one. So number one, first headline. Court rules Florida residents can't sell rare tropical fish that end up in pools after hurricane.
You cannot sell tropical fish that ended up in a pool after a hurricane.
Yes. Court rules Florida residents cannot sell rare tropical fish that end up in pools after hurricanes. That is number one.
All right.
Number two. Japan is about to expel a YouTuber from its Senate because he didn't show up to work for 7 months. YouTuber that was also a Senate member.
Interesting.
So number two, Japan is about to expel a YouTuber from its Senate because he didn't show up to work for 7 months. Number three, Newark accidentally enters into a sister city deal with fake city.
Newark, New Jersey?
Newark, New Jersey.
Okay. They partnered with a sister city that does not exist.
That does not exist. That's beautiful. Overseas.
That's beautiful.
And number four, this couple just got married in the Taco Bell metaverse. Didn't know there was a Taco Bell metaverse.
That I 100% believe.
You do?
I do too.
Yeah. All right, so these are our four options.
This is three headlines and a lie.
Three headlines and a lie. Which one's the fake headline? The court that ruled Florida residents can't sell rare tropical fish because they end up in pools after hurricane. Japan is about to expel a YouTuber from its Senate because he didn't show up to work for 7 months. Newark accidentally enters into sister city deal with a fake city, or a couple that got married in the Taco Bell metaverse.
I am going with the Japanese lawmaker.
Okay.
I am as well, but I'm going with it on a technicality. Like, it was probably 8 months.
Ah. Well, you're both wrong.
Oh, no.
It's the fish.
It's the fish?
Yeah.
That was so specific that I believed it.
But it's also Florida, so why would they ban it? I feel like they're not going to ban anyone from buying tropical fish. Freedom.
But it's about finding them in your pool after a hurricane. So I'm just trying to follow how this. So there's a hurricane that comes through your house, and it smashes your fish tank, and then the fish somehow come down from the fifth floor of your condo and make it into the condominium pool. And you can retrieve them and keep them even if they're not yours, but you can't sell them.
That is very specific.
That's right.
That's a long journey.
It's a long journey.
Nemo really got his work cut out for him.
And how many fish are surviving that kind of journey?
Well,
I think that's quite impressive.
When everything's flooded, there's a lot of water.
I suppose.
Think about the amount of like crocodiles that you're now walking around with when Florida floods like that.
Good point.
That's why I'm not moving to Florida anytime soon.
So many reasons not to move to Florida.
Yes. Visit. If my brother ends up pulling the trigger and moving there, I'll be happy to visit for a weekend to get some sun.
But really?
I mean, to visit. I don't need to move there at all. But yeah, so Newark, the Japan thing seems pretty straightforward. A Japanese YouTuber is likely to be expelled from the country's Senate after not showing up to work. Lawmakers voted Tuesday to kick him out, which is likely to be confirmed on Wednesday, so we could follow up and see if that actually happened yesterday. But the city of Newark recently signed a deal to work with a sister city overseas. Mayor Baraka signed the deal in January to work with the United States of Kalasa. The purpose of the deal was to establish an international relationship that would help both territories and their people. But there was just one problem. The United States of Kalasa does not exist.
How did that even get that far?
Apparently thought they were getting involved in a cultural and trade deal with one of India's emerging independent Hindu nations. But it's fake. Whoops.
A little more research, folks.
Whoops. And then a couple did indeed get married in the Taco Bell metaverse. The future of virtual weddings is shiny, tacky, and sponsored. So there you go. Aaron, I love that you knew that that one was real. You're like, no, that definitely happened.
People are weird.
All right. When we come back, Luke Mathers will be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Pain, it goes like one margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot. Don't worry about tomorrow, leave all your sorrow out here on the floating dock. When that sun lays down, we'll be on our way. One more barefoot round, one more last chance to say, hey senorita, don't you think.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. This is the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour of As Goes Wisconsin. We are in Madison. Aaron Sommers is on the board doing a great job.
Yes.
And Luke Mathers, not Luke Bryan, Bryant, has joined us for the last half hour. How you doing, buddy?
Good. It's been a little while since I've joined you here on the airwaves.
Was it the last time? Was it when we played What Did I Miss?
Yep.
And you had to tell me everything, all the news,
yeah,
of the Wisconsin
we had a little
news.
David Diggs doing What Did I Miss when you came back from your honeymoon, I believe.
I think that
sounds right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of news.
I was going to say, I remember I talked really, really fast because there had been so much that had happened. So hopefully I don't have to talk too fast. We don't have to jam in all that information.
And we're not doing... This is the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. So this is not the time where we're talking about the Wisconsin legislature. This is when we have fun.
Perfect.
And we talked to Brian Hefty from the DNR. This is the human interest... Fun, light,
fluffy.
I do that all the time with tangents, though. But I just try to weave them in.
Yeah,
so I only have an hour ever. So it's usually if I don't work in the lighthearted stuff into the hard hitting topics, I would never actually hit the hard hitting topics.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because in an hour, you've only got so much time. So you got to try to squeeze it all in and kind of combine it. And you jump from story to story, and you sometimes lose your train of thought, but.
That's what tangents are for.
I would say, then we try to get to it the next day.
What would you do with a longer show? How would you change it? Because it is. I mean, an hour, it ends up being 44 minutes.
Yeah,
once we take the commercials,
by.
It flies by. Versus 3 hours sometimes flies by. But it's a very different way to structure the show versus powering it all in there for 44 minutes. So what do you think you would change if you had another, let's not even do 3 hours. Let's do 2 hours. What would you change?
If I had to fill 2 hours, because that's exactly where my mind would go, would
you're
be like,
oh,
okay,
that's
I have
a
to
lot.
Fill the 2 hours. I think Brian and I always have these really good bits, and I wish if we had some more time, we could, you know, actually work on them a little bit more and create something with those. And so there's hope that will maybe come back to the one-hour program as the big fancy guy is doing very, very important things with our growing network. And so not to sound like I'm like sad that he's not on the air. I do miss him, but I know he's doing important work. But he and I just have a lot of fun, and we have a lot of creative approaches, I think, to the Wisconsin headlines that we try to make it more relatable and understandable and kind of digest, very similar to what the two of you do here with As Goes Wisconsin. So
Speaking of, because I have two topics. So we'll prime the audience if they have strong feelings on this. And then we'll talk about headquarters and Fancy Brian because Jane got to see them last night.
Oh, it's amazing.
There's a new king of the most popular breed of dog.
Oh.
It's been for 31 years a Labrador Retriever.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first time in three decades, the king has been usurped by a much smaller, anatomically questionable creature.
Oh, my.
The French Bulldog is now the most popular. So we're going to have a debate on what is the best breed of dog. And then after that, we're going to have a debate on whether or not boneless wings are just chicken nuggets. So welcome to the No Sour Fun Time Power.
This is like a slow pitch right across the plate and just teeing it up.
So both questions. One, what is the best dog breed? Two, are boneless wings just chicken nuggets with a lot of sauce on them? But first, how was headquarters last night? You stopped by to see Fancy Brian late at night, still working?
Dominic Salvia forced me to walk with. Yes, it was.
He needed a chaperone, James.
Well, I was under so much pressure from Dom. So we went. It's two blocks away from where we were staying last night. So, and I had never had a chance to see what's underway. It is spectacular.
It really is.
It is. It's amazing. And it's huge. So much space. Wonderful views of State Street. And it is a little hub of activity, man. It was Fancy Brian and Corey Hartman, and then two other really intelligent people who I have never met before, who were working in the computer room.
Yeah.
And I got to see the new Fancy Aaron boards, the producer boards that are coming.
I'm looking forward to that.
I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, that you're not going to have a piece of paper and you write on what it is and you stick it on with a piece of tape. It's, you know, it's, but that's what I'm used to. And that's been standard radio operating procedures. So these big new fancy boards are coming. And yeah, it's nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I'm very excited for the location. Every time I pull up in there, I'm like, I cannot wait until this is where we're actually based from.
So, yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
We're not jealous at all in our converted dentist office record out of.
I'm going to come. Hey, this is also a converted dentist office.
This is also a dentist office.
So, you know, it's kind of par for the course, but I'm going to come visit you guys and I'm going to broadcast from Waukesha tomorrow.
Yay!
I know. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's going to be the first time that I'm going to come see the new studio. I have not been out there yet and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'll warm up the seat for you.
And there's a rumor that I'm not going to put it out there saying that for sure it's happening, but there may be an appearance of both me and Fancy Brian in the same studio at the same time for a show. So
that would be something.
When's the last time that happened that you did it in the same room?
Oh, a real long time. I honestly can't even think of the last time that, because when we first started out Dueling Tangents in the, what would it have been, fall, October of 2021, Brian was commuting to Madison every single day.
From
Oak Creek. And so Brian would do the commute, and then he'd be like talking to me of the things that he was training me, like on his drive, and then we'd do a show together, and then he'd produce The Devil's Advocates, and then he'd drive home at the end of the night and instruct me on the other things that he needed to train me how to do. So we've been kind of really excited of the growing team that we've been putting together, because it means that Brian and I don't have to necessarily do that for forever.
Which
we're really looking forward to it. It was so exciting to see all of the talent that the network has put together in one room yesterday. Missing a few parts, obviously. Shout out to Mr. Kreitlow, who was absent yesterday, but we did miss him. He was there in spirit. But it was a lot of fun, and the fact that Brian and I have pretty much developed this remote relationship for our studio for Dueling Tangents. It's been Madison and Waukesha, and then broadcasting out to the rest of the state as we've grown over these past couple months. So we don't get the opportunity to be in studio all the time, and I'm putting it out there. I'm not saying it's for sure happening, folks, but we're putting it out there into ether that maybe, just maybe, St. Patty's Day in Waukesha
will be tomorrow. A St. Patrick's Day miracle.
I hope it does, because long distance can be really hard on a relationship.
It is, but it also makes the heart grow fonder, and I can tell you, Fancy Brian and I are very fond of each other. So
no doubt.
Well, we're very fond of both of you.
Yes.
Now, to move on to what kind of dogs you're very fond of.
I have a qualm with this list. This list is crap.
So this is the list of the American Kennel Club comes out with a list every year and of like the most popular dogs, which I don't think you can, I mean, I think it's based on dogs that are registered. So this is not a opinion-based thing. This is,
My
new
entry means
dogs that are bought and registered with their owners. And so it is actual data, not just like a you pick poll that you self select into. It's like, it's actually data.
I have to check my 2023 registration for my dog then. I know I'm registered to vote, but I don't know if, if
that's
I updated
probably more
the 2023.
Important, if I'm being totally honest. But all right, so the 10 most popular breeds for 2022 are almost the same from 2021, just in a different order. So here's the list with the number of the positions gained or lost. I'm not going to do that part. All right, so number 10, German Shorthaired Pointer.
Wow, that surprises me.
I can't even imagine.
I can't even picture one.
It's a very specific type of hunting dog, isn't it?
I would assume that the pointer makes the hunting
dog. They're like spotted. Yeah. I'm looking at it. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's number 10. A wiener dog Dachshund is number 9. I wanted one so badly as a kid. And I said to my mom, she's like, well, who would walk it? I was like, I'd walk it. His legs are short. It doesn't have to go very far. That was my kid logic, which is not bad.
Nice try.
My fiance's mom has a dachshund, and she is a feisty little dog.
I've also heard they're very dramatic.
They are.
They pretend that they're hurt.
Very needy. But she's a breed of she's a combination of another dog on this top 10 list, and she's a tank because of the other dog that she's bred with. When we get there, I'll tell you, but it's gonna surprise you, folks.
Wow. Okay.
Star-crossed woofers.
All right. Number 8 is a beagle. I've heard good things about beagles. I've never
they're
owned
cute.
One.
They howl though.
I was going to say they're noisy.
Yeah, they like
they're
howl.
Noisy.
Arr, 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 arr.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go. All right. Number 7. I have a soft spot for this dog because there was a children's book called Carl Dog, and there was no words. It was all just illustrations, and I had a great babysitter growing up. I mean, my mom would, like, because you made up the story, right? So whoever was reading the book would kind of tell the story in their own words. And I had one babysitter who was very theatrical.
Sure.
And I have always, and still do want someday, although I would have to pay for training. Number 7 is a Rottweiler. Big.
That's a tall order.
That's a big, beefy dog.
That's a big responsibility when it comes to the dog.
That's going
to
need lots of walks.
Yes, mm-hmm. I know. And that's very different than Clifford right now, who needs not many walks.
Cliffy, who's 12 and he's a Chihuahua.
He's a 10-pound Chihuahua mixed with something.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a Rottweiler in our neighborhood that I see, and he's so beautiful. But it's also like, oh yeah, you need a lot more exercise than Cliff.
Absolutely.
But I do the Carl Dog books. Highly recommend. All right, number 5, a poodle. I've heard poodles are jerks.
You skipped over 6.
Oh, sorry. 6. Another one of my favorites as a kid. Still one of my favorites, but I don't think I would ever buy because they're so expensive. Number 6 is a bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the dachshund is mixed with?
Not yet.
All right.
We're not there yet.
Bulldogs have a bunch of health issues.
See, but so do French bulldogs because
it's the smashed face.
And that was my thing. I was like, I love bulldogs. I've always thought they were just fun, goofy meatballs. But it's that. It's like the cost of, because I think it's the same thing for both bulldogs and French bulldogs, that they can't be born naturally. They all have to be born on a C-section.
Oh, I did not know that.
That they're not like natural creatures anymore.
Wow.
Anyways,
yeah,
I knew
they
going
were bred. Yeah.
It's 1:45. So I got to keep going. So I'll get to the list, and then in the next segment, we'll debate. The boneless chicken wings we'll save for tomorrow. Number 5 is a poodle. Number 4 is a German Shepherd. Number 3 is a Golden Retriever. 2 is a Labrador Retriever. And 1 is a French Bulldog. So what's the dachshund mixed with?
The Golden Retriever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does it have like long flowy hair?
Yeah, she's got long swoopy golden hair, and she is a beefy dachshund though, because she took the shape of a dachshund, and she's like a torpedo. She'll jump on you when she hits you. If she jumps up on the couch while you're sitting there and she gets you, she can knock the wind out of you easily.
Wow.
Because she has the build almost of a golden, and her legs and just her whole core. Dachshund.
So it's like corgi almost?
No. She's clearly a dachshund. Like, you could see the wiener dog in this dog. That is who she is, but she's also a golden.
You're gonna have to send us a picture.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine this. All right, so I guess agree, disagree as far as what you... Because you know a lot about different dogs.
I do.
Does anything surprise you?
French bulldogs became very, very trendy over the last decade.
Yeah.
And those were the dogs that Lady Gaga had stolen.
Yeah. In Milwaukee, that happened.
Yes.
There was a hairdresser who someone broke into her house and stole both drugs. And I think she got both back.
Yes,
thank God.
Did. Yeah.
But they're very expensive.
Yes.
And they are very cute. They're very cute. But again, I feel like they're expensive because I think they have health issues.
My Australian Shepherd didn't even make the top 10. And that's he is literally adorable and he's smart. Yeah. And I don't know how.
Is it the breed or your dog that you're biased
to? Oh, it's the breed.
Yeah.
They are so smart. He's smarter than his own good most days. And so he knows how to get into things. He's like, he is
conniving. Can he open
conniving.
Doors?
We're doing a lot of renovations, so there's honestly not a whole lot of doors around the house right now.
Right.
But I don't know if he's gotten to that point. But he once took an entire cast iron skillet off of the stove in the middle of the night because we thought like it would be left there. And he just cleared it off the stove, didn't make any noise, and then ate everything that was in there. And it was,
all right.
It was too smart for
us. We're talking our favorite dogs. We'll be back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Dog, as much as I love you, but you may think my dog will always come through. All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get. So I love my dog as much as I love you, but you may think my dog will always come through.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are joined by Luke Mathers, and Aaron Zommers is on the board. We are wrapping up our field trip Thursday in the Madison Civic Media World headquarters. And we're talking, you know, because it is the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power, we're talking about dog breeds.
Yeah. Your super, favorite puppies.
Super important.
Yes, it is.
Something I would run through a wall for, my dog. I love
it. Because, Aaron, was that Cat Stevens we were just listening to?
Yes, it was.
Yes. And so I literally was listening to the lyrics of that. I was like, I'm pretty sure Mike loves Cliff as much as he loves me. I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, he was living with Cliff before you.
That's true. That's true. So. I mean, to be fair, we both came into his life almost at the exact same time. I moved to Milwaukee, and 2 days later, Mike rescued Cliff.
Oh, wow.
So we really, I think we always knew that Cliff had a better chance of survival than I did, but I made it through still. I did get a ring. Cliff has not gotten a ring
that's
yet.
That's true. Not yet.
I know the collar kind of counts, right? You know, that's something. Not as flashy, but it's definitely.
All right. So what do we think? So I'll read the list again from, this is the American Kennel Club's most popular dogs for 2022. And we're debating what, I mean, we can't really debate it because it's facts. It's how many people,
sold and registered.
Sold and registered. But as far as other dogs that we think should be contenders or breeds that should be contenders, number one was French Bulldog, which usurped Labrador Retrievers after 31 years of labs being the most popular dog. Golden Retriever is number 3. German Shepherd is number 4. 5 is Poodle. 6 is Bulldog. 7 is Rottweiler. 8 is Beagle. 9 is Dachshund. I don't always say Dachshund. Wiener Dog. 10 is German Short-Haired Pointer. I guess what I'm wondering if there's specific rules on purebreds, because I'm surprised that like the Golden Doodles.
Yeah.
And which are really popular.
All just of mutt, the doodles.
Just like any kind of mutt, like, but mixed together.
Mutts feel harder because, like, Cliff's mixed with something, right?
Yeah.
So those feel harder. Like, I know they want to take your money when you do the, like, 23andMe for your dog. But for, like, the breed, like, the hybrid dog, like, designer dogs.
Mm-hmm. The hypoallergenic dogs.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, everything's mixed with, a poodle these days.
Poodle, so that they're hypoallergenic then.
So I'm wondering if there's a part of this, the rules of this, that they have to be purebreds, because otherwise I would be I'm surprised that some of those mixes aren't higher on the list. Yeah.
Well, and you make a really good point, because again, too, I think so many people have taken advantage. Lots of people have allergies,
mm-hmm.
and lots of people still want to have dogs. And so, and can I just say, I have never owned a Golden Retriever, but I know people who do, and they are sweet peas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They really are just
labs in general too.
Yeah. So good natured, right? And so good tempered, and they're just adorable. All dogs. I mean.
I know. One dog that I still want, and I don't think requires, as like I said, Rottweiler, that needs a lot of energy. I've always loved Great Danes.
Oh, no, they needed a lot too, though.
Do they? I've been told they're really good apartment dogs because they think they're small.
What?
Yeah, I've heard that they actually, I mean, they need exercise, but it's not like a sporting dog. Oh. Like a golden retriever and a lab, like they need to get out there and run.
Yeah.
Versus I think Great Danes are a little daintier. I've been told. I've never owned a Great Dane.
I would
Dane.
Never have considered it that way.
See, and I think they're wonderful dogs. And years ago, a friend's sister had one. Her name was Fanny. And where I'm sitting right now, Fanny would sit and her head would be level with mine.
Oh, they're huge.
They're just gigundo. The biggest drawback to having a Great Dane is having to clean up after the Great Dane.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, well, that you are a lot funnier. It's also those big dogs don't live very long.
No, they don't.
Like Bull Mastiffs, Great Danes.
Yeah.
Like they make it to like 10.
Yeah.
Versus and the little ones that can live a little bit longer because their hearts are too big.
Yeah. And that's the hardest part of owning, of loving any pet is having to say goodbye. But at the same time, that is the most generous and most loving thing that you can do.
Yeah.
For your animal. You know, to make sure that they're not in pain and not suffering. But it's hard. It is. It's hard. Really hard.
All right. Well, on that somber note.
We love them. Give them all scritches.
Yeah,
give them scritches from us.
But since we only have a couple minutes left, what do you have today, Mr. Luke Mathers?
Stephen Webb, the executive director for Planned Parenthood Action of Wisconsin, is going to be joining me at 2:30. Before that, Mr. Kreitlow, so he doesn't miss out on the fun, will be joining me for a segment.
Because I heard that this morning. He was a little irritated.
Disappointed
that he was not part of the crossover.
He was more upset of the fact that he's been trying to get more of us to join him in the morning. And Todd and I do. Todd and I each, and I believe Chad Holmes.
Chad does sometimes.
Yeah, Chad Holmes.
I pretty much shut that down. I was like,
too early for you.
I'm up. I'm just stressed out about my own show. I'm like, I can't have time. Once I have my show under control, maybe we'll start playing with that.
He was kind of upset. And it was on a Thursday. And it's Thursdays are the days that I join him at 7:50. And he felt a little left out. And I think a little scorn that it was his own idea saying, hey, we should do more cross-promotion of everybody's show. And then I told him, and I was like, hey, that's what we're doing today. There's going to be – Todd's going to join Kristen and Jane and Kristen are going to join Todd, and I'm going to join them as well. And Pat was kind of just like, how dare you? So it was a little bit more that he didn't feel left out. And
he should have come. He didn't come. He could have come yesterday. We all sat through the training.
That's fair.
And we're having conversations about it.
Well, I am looking forward to listening to you two as I head back to Milwaukee after we wrap things up here. So
it'll be a fun hour here on Dueling Tangents and then in Waukesha. And Remy will probably be with me tomorrow, so you'll get to meet the dog.
Yes.
Are you going to bring Remy to the studio?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be there for at least a little bit.
We have treats. Yeah. We have treats.
There we go.
Have dog treats?
Of course we do.
Does that mean I can start bringing Cliff to the office?
You think we're savages?
He's pretty quiet.
Bring him.
Remy's silent as long as he's around, not around other dogs. So maybe not tomorrow.
I will bring Cliff tomorrow.
Don't bring him tomorrow.
I will not bring Cliff tomorrow. All right. Well, this has been a very fun Thursday.
It has.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around and doing the show from Madison today. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been fun. Thanks for coming on with us.
I have chair envy, by the way. These are great bouncy chairs. I love these chairs.
You have the power, if you so choose, to get some of these chairs for our office.
I'm just going
to
take them.
Okay. I was going to say, as long as there's one over there when I do my show, just don't say anything, and it'll just stick out the back in the car ride home.
Just put the back down, and we'll take a couple chairs.
Here we go. All right. Well, thank you for texting. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. Today has been a very fun show. I have warmed up the chair for Mr. Luke Mathers to take over for Dueling Tangents, so you should stick around and listen to his show. Call him, text him, but we'll be back tomorrow at 11. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.